Amen. Good morning. My name is Carl Forrester. I'm the lead pastor here at Reach Out Church. So if you're a visitor here, maybe you just saw online, hey, free food, free fellowship, worship Jesus. And you're like, hey, what about this church? Who are we? So I want to just take a minute to tell you who we are. First of all, we are lovers of Jesus. You know, we believe in the Bible as the whole entire word, what it's written there. We believe that the gifts of the Spirit are still active and working today. Yeah. Why? Because Jesus is alive and he never said, I'm going to change. In fact, the Bible says he changes not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if that be true, his word is true forever as well. And we can stand upon his promises. What happens is that you and I sometimes have a disconnect. And what do I mean by that? Well, maybe something goes wrong in our life. And we're like, well, God, this doesn't line up with your word. And so often, we often default to our feelings. We default to what's happened in our life. Rather than turning and say, Lord, I trust you no matter what. And that's what God has called us to do. It's in the difficulties of life that we really find out how much faith we have. It's not when things are going easy. No, it's when the problems of life come. And you might say, well, hold on. I thought when you accept Jesus, all your problems go away. How many people have heard that? I want to tell you that actually my life got a little more complicated after I accepted Jesus. Now, I will say this, though. My insides were changed. I had some circumstances. I had to deal with some sin areas and things I had to deal with externally. But let me tell you something. I had the peace of God that passes all understanding on the inside. That though I was in a storm worse than anything I'd ever experienced before Jesus, Jesus was with me in the storm. And I'd rather be with Jesus in the storm than in the calmest day without him. Because on the calmest day without him, there's still a storm going on the inside. And you and I need to remind ourselves of that. Because here's the thing. We're in a world that doesn't follow Jesus. And we're going to be talking a little bit about that. But before we do that, I'm going to tell you the title. I don't normally do that. But the title is actually a question for us this morning. And here it is. Who is in control of your life? Let me just even add to that. Who or what is in control of your life? And so I know that so many of us who have been in Christ for any length of time, we're going to have a pat answer that we're going to give. There may be some people here saying, well, yeah, I'm not sure who's in control. I'm out of control, so I don't know who's in control. But hopefully by our end of our few minutes together that you'll come to a solid place and realize who ultimately is in control and what God wants to do. Amen? So with that in mind, I need to talk to you and lay a foundation of who was originally in control. In other words, before you and I knew Jesus as our Lord and Savior, who was in control? So let's look at a scripture. If you have your apps or however you want to go, I'm sorry that we're almost in a dead zone in this area as far as internet and telephones, so I will read it to you, all right? Okay, so here's the scriptures. 1 John 5:19. This is one of our base scriptures for this morning. 1 John 5:19. Now, just to give you a little background, John is really old at this time. He's probably 80, 90 years old. He's writing a letter to the churches. It's a general letter that he's sending to believers, all right? And this is what he says to them. He says, we, and he's got himself included, we know that we are children of God. Can everyone say amen to that? Amen. All right. And that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. We know also that the Son of God has come, that he has given us an understanding, so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true by being in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. I want to look at the first part of this just for a minute. It says, we know we are children of God. Have you got that settled in your heart?
Yeah.
You know, you may have saw on Facebook, hey, come to a picnic, free food. Hey, I'm glad you're here. But have you made a personal decision to accept Jesus into your heart as Lord and Savior? This is a decision every person is going to have to face in their life at one point or another. But that one decision, unlike a lot of other decisions, the decision to accept Jesus affects your entire eternal destiny. Wow. Now that's a heavy one. That's a heavy one. But the thing is, you don't have to do the heavy lifting. Jesus already did it. He gave his life in your place, and all you have to do is respond to the work that he's already done. So if you're in this place or within the sound of my voice online and you've never asked Jesus in your heart, you realize that you're not right with God. And you might say, well, how do I know I'm not right? Listen to me. Think about this. If you were to die tonight and you knew it, are you ready to meet your Maker? And if you have like, no, I'm not ready. You know what that's telling me? you're not right with Jesus. Do you know that you can be a believer and not be right with Jesus? And I don't mean unsaved. I don't mean you're going to go to hell. But you have unsettled things, undealt with things in your life. Listen to me. As a believer, keep a clean slate. Right now, in me just saying that, something has come to some people's minds right now of a person, place, event, and you need to do business with that. You need to deal with it. You need to talk to him first, the big him, the Lord, and then you need to deal with it. If there's people involved, restitution, whatever you need to do, keep a clean slate. Amen? But if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, today's as good a day as any. Come on, the grass is green, the birds are chirping, the temperature's just about right. You can't. This is like a little slice of heaven under these trees right here. Amen? And here's the thing. Jesus loves you so much, he wants you to become one of his children. He created you with the hope and belief that you would turn to him. So just for a moment, just every head bowed, just for a moment, and we'll move on with the message in a moment. But Lord God, if there's anyone here sitting right here in front of me, if there's anyone watching online live right now, or maybe watching a day, a week, a month, a year from now, Lord God, and they're not right with you, it's so easy to get right because you've done it all. All we have to do is say yes to you. So Lord, I pray right now in Jesus' name that they would make a decision in their heart to say yes to you and call out to you, and that you will be with them for the rest of their lives until this life ends and eternity starts. You'll be with them as well. So Lord God, bless them in making this decision in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've made that decision here today, please let me know, right? I'd love to hear about that. Online, let me know as well. But let's move on back to our scripture, 1 John 5:19. It says, we know we're children of God, and the whole world is under the control of the evil one. Some versions say this, the whole world is under the sway of the evil one. And again, you get that idea that as the enemy, Satan does something, that everyone just kind of follows suit. Evil following evil. And you have the whole world. The world means cosmos, but it not only means the world as we see it, it means the inhabitants of the world. Now, you don't have to turn the news on for very long to realize that the whole world is evil. Has everyone kind of figured that out right now? There's a lot of evil going on all around the world right now, and the whole world is under the sway or manipulation or influence of the evil one. And the evil one is just a nice way of saying Satan or the devil, all right? So he is actively at work on this earth. And here's the thing. We were once part of that cosmos. We were once part of that people group, those inhabitants, that all we were influenced, and we might not have even known about it. But the reality of it is that our thoughts, our feelings, our emotions, our actions were heavily controlled and influenced by the evil one. And that's just the way it is, and John is telling us that. But as children of God, that's why I love this scripture. It goes on. We know that the Son of God has come and has given us what? An understanding. Meaning that's how we once were. But now as children of God, we've been enlightened. In other words, God has given us a way out. He's showing us that we don't have to follow the influence and the control of the world anymore. But now we can follow the influence and control and direction of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say amen to that? But here's the thing. We don't become a new slave. In other words, we were once a slave to the devil, because that's what happened. We were under his control. But God doesn't make us his slave. Now we have free will. Now we are free to choose. Now, how many people choose well all the time? Not a hand up in the place, and you'll notice my hands are crossed. It's not happening, right? Oh, we got one person. Oh, okay. He was just adjusting his ear there. Okay. All right. The reality of it is that none of us are perfect. That we are still going to at times make wrong and bad decisions. Thank God for God's grace. Amen? Thank God for his grace. Okay. So what are some of the, after we come to know the Lord, does that mean, everything's perfect? Here's the thing. Here is what is perfect. Your name now is written in the book of life. You've got permanent reservations for heaven. Okay, so there's a lot of good things that happen. But as far as down here goes, there's still controlling influences that are part of our lives. And I was praying and thinking about this, wondering, well, what are some of these things? And so let me tell you the first one. The first one is other people. Your coworkers. Your kids that you go to school with, maybe some relatives. You know, the list goes on and on of the potential other people. Friends, neighbors, you know, all kinds of different issues of people in life. And we have to make a decision. Are we going to allow their negative influences to control how we think and we live? You know, I was reminded, and I'm going to date myself, especially for some of you younger people, but back in the late 80s or 90s, there was a fashion trend that came out. And I don't know where it came from, but it was this whole thing of having baggy pants. Everybody remember that? So here's the thing. I call them, and this is my term, all right? So this is, I patented this, okay. I call them butt dragger pants. Because what they would do, they'd have their pants like hanging way down here somewhere, right? So that their underwear would show. You had to have 2 or 3 inches of underwear showing for it to be proper, you know, for it to be hip, you know what I'm saying? So you see these guys walking around, you know, like this, and literally they're dragging on the ground. Now let me tell you, the cops loved it, because if there were criminals that were in fashion with it, they couldn't run, because their pants would fall down and they weren't easy to catch. So the cops loved it for a number of years till that trend came and went. But here's the thing, it was some, you know, who knows who it was, some celebrity somewhere decided, hey, I'm going to wear this and this is cool. And then a few more people caught on. And here's what happened. That influencer influenced the whole generation of people. And here we are kind of laughing about it now. It was stupid. You know, it wasn't practical. There was so much negative to it. Here's the thing, that's a kind of funny influence. But what about some of the things that are deadly? You know, what about some of the other issues and influences? You know, if my observation is that if you go into a liberal school as a student, you will come out with liberal thinking. If you go into a conservative school, you generally will come out with conservative thinking. Well, what does that tell me? That tells me that the teachers that are there, the people that are there, the leaders that are there, it's not just about information you're getting, it's influence. And so what you listen to over and over and over again will affect you and influence your life. About 10, 12 years ago, Sandra and I were watching the news. We're sitting on the couch one night, like most nights, you know, after everything's over, and we're watching it, and it was when that whole Natalie Holloway thing was happening. Remember that in Aruba? You know, every night, because, you know, you'd have one group talking about, then another group, then another group. It just went on and on. And I looked at Sandra one day, and I said, I'm done. And she said, I'm done too. She knew exactly what I was saying. I said, why are we wasting our life being influenced by a bunch of garbage? It's just rhetoric, people's opinions, and it's not really news. It's not just giving information. It's people talking. So literally, we cut the cable. We, at that point, decide we're done with that. You know, and so we still have internet, high-speed internet, so now we watch, you know, there's different, you know, program, you know, different things you can watch without any advertisements. You can turn it off when you want, turn it on when you want. And when I want to look at news, I can go online, check the headlines. If I'm interested, fine. If I'm not, I don't have to go through the whole thing to get to the other thing. Now, that's just me, but Sandra and I decide we are done being influenced by just people's opinions and rhetoric. Now, have you made a decision in your life to begin to filter? Again, you may not have, I'm not suggesting you do what I did, but do you filter the influences that are coming into your life? Or you just kind of let things happen as they may? You need to decide that, because those influences will often affect you in a negative way and take you down a road that God hasn't called you to go on. And so other people is a huge one. All right, I've got a couple more, but I see Aaron thinks he's got me set up with the lapel mic. Let's try this again. Give me a chance. Amen. You need to come down a little bit more. There we go. All right, go back there, wire. We need this. You're going to understand in a little while. I need all my hands. You'll see in a few minutes. Okay, so let's move on. So we've got other people. Obviously, he's a huge influence. Okay, we already talked a little bit about the devil, and you might say, well, just a minute. I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. That means the devil no longer has any influence on me. Is that true? No, he still does. Here's the thing. The devil has as much authority on you and influence as you will let him. He has no legal right to you any longer, but he'll pretend that he does. He'll come along and he'll say things, he'll whisper into your ear, and the Bible calls these fiery darts he'll throw at you. And so he'll keep lying to you. He'll keep talking. And here's the thing. If you listen to him, he's got influence on you. But the minute you come along and say, I'm not going to listen to you anymore, his influence just drops away. It's actually the same as people. When you stop allowing their words to change how you think and what you do. The devil, though, he knows your buttons. You know what I'm talking about? You know the things that, you know, your Achilles heels, the weaknesses. He has been observing your life from beginning to all the way to today. And he's watching and he's waiting until that moment where he can pounce. And you got to be ready. Are you ready? You know, the enemy has no authority. Say that with me. The enemy has no authority. And you have to be able to not just say it, but begin to believe it. Because here's the thing. He also knows your emotions, your feelings. He's gonna work every angle he can. You know, I can be at times a bit of a hothead. I have been worse in the past. So you're seeing somebody that's actually quite reformed. But I still have my moments, all right? And so the point, in fact, Aaron and I, we it's pretty funny. You know, when we have discussions about things, often, you know, we're yelling at each other. And people around are like, are they going to start punching each other? But here's the thing, that's just how we work, you know? And so at the end, we're like, hey, let's go get some ice cream. And we're like, yeah, okay. And everyone around is like, you know, what just happened there? But the thing is, that's just how it is. But the thing is, in the past, I would just get angry over stupid things. And so each and every one of us have to decide, are we going to allow our emotions to be pushed? Lots of feedback up here. Are you going to fix that? All right, let me help you. I'm going to move the speaker a little bit. And I'm going to move back. How about I move back? All right? Yeah, keep talking. I know, Aaron, you're telling me keep talking. Keep talking. Okay, I'm going to keep talking. Okay, so we've got other people. We've got the devil. Now, we have another part that is an influence. Things. We talked right now, a little bit earlier, Rachel brought up our recovery group that we have. That's an ongoing thing. Okay, one of the biggest things that are going to influence us and control us is addictive behaviors. You know, whether that be drugs, you know, legal drugs or illegal drugs, alcohol, pornography, spending out of control. The list goes on and on of the things that we can be influenced with and get out of control with that can control us. Gambling. I think of gambling, you know, is a huge one for some people. These are very real issues that people deal with. And there's some people right now, that are dealing with some of these issues. Here's what I want to tell you. You can have the victory in Jesus, but you may need some help. And that's why we have recovery groups. That's why we come together as the brothers and the sisters in the Lord, because when you have a difficult thing, you come alongside with other people who have like faith to help you get through that. Amen? Very, very important. Okay, the final. So other people, the devil, things. Now, I saved the best for last. One of the most important influences that you and I need to have in our life is the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, he's just one of many voices. You got the other people, you got things, you got the devil, and now we have the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know his voice? Because it's really important for you to hear and perceive his voice above all the other voices, because you know it's going to be a problem for you if you don't. And his influence is always good. He's always wanting to take you to good places. Now here's the thing. When he speaks, it often will cause you not to want to go where you want to go. Are you willing to defer to him? And that can be challenging, can't it? It really can. It really can. Okay. So how do we let the Lord be a controlling influence in our life? So we talk about where we've come from, you know, where we're controlled by the enemy, controlled by the world. So now as believers, who's supposed to be influencing us the most? Jesus, right? Obviously. So how can we do that? Well, I as I prayed about this, a couple scriptures came to mind. So in Deuteronomy, God had just taken the people into the promised land, and he makes these two verses a statement. In Deuteronomy 30, verses 19 and 20, he says this, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore, choose life. Both you and your descendants may live. and you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him. For he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. But what I love about this scripture, it says this, choose life. So you have a choice to choose life. And he says, you know, in other places he talks about life and death I've set before you, you know, in several places in Deuteronomy. Choose life. So what does that mean? It means that you are ultimately in control to decide to go God's way. Here's my point. God's not a bully. He's not like Satan, where Satan's pushing you to do evil things. God comes along, and what does he want to do? He wants to lead you. He doesn't force anyone to do anything. And so you have to make a decision, am I going to choose life and follow the direction of the Holy Spirit? And that can be challenging, can't it? In Psalms 32, verse 8 and 9, it says this, I will instruct you, this is the Lord speaking, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. So look at the first part of this again. I, meaning the Lord, will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye. Don't be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by the bit or bridle, or they will not come to you. Meaning God's not going to put a noose around your neck. He's not going to put shackles on you. He's not going to force you to do something. So how does this work? You know, I'm always that kind of guy. I'm a practical. I came from farm life. Everything in my life was practical. In fact, if we were doing something that had no value, we stopped doing it right away because there wasn't enough time in the day to do the things that needed to be done. And so as I look at this, every time I share with people, I try to come up with, okay, Lord, what can we do with this? How can we practically follow your leading and your guidance? And so the Lord had reminded me of an illustration I'd seen actually for the first time about 10, 15 years ago. And then I saw it again about 2 or 3 months ago. And I'm going to give you a modified rendition of that illustration that my hope is to help you understand how this whole leading and guiding and influence and control works and where we are in this, all right? Is everyone good with that? Okay, so I need a Jesus. So Yusuf, our newest elder, is going to play Jesus. Amen? Amen. Come on down. Okay, Yusuf, come here. We need a couple chairs here. I'm going to put you to work.
Hey, Jesus, I need help.
Okay, so we got to set up our car. So here's what we're going to do. Okay, that's a car. Two and two. And it's got to be on a bit of an angle. Just about like this. There we go, like that. There we go. That's perfect. Okay.
Jesus, they won't let me do that.
I even brought my steering wheel, all right? Not for my car. It was for my lawn tractor. So I left Sanders' car in one piece. Okay, so what this whole thing is to kind of illustrate is your life. So this car, in a sense, represents your life and where you are in the picture as far as the kingdom of God goes, all right? So I'm me. I'm just a believer, just a person like yourself. But Yusuf is who?
Jesus.
Okay. Okay. So listen. So here's the deal. So let me give you the steering wheel. Okay. Why don't you sit in the driver's side? Right, you remember that song, Jesus, Take the Wheel, right? Okay, so this is one possible illustration for you to see, right? So Jesus is driving, right? And where are you taking me? You're taking me to good places, right? To the right place. So you got to be driving. You got to be driving. Thank you. Yeah. So, yeah, thank you. You got to make this look good. All right, so you're driving. So where am I in this, right? I'm in the car somewhere, right? So I could be here, right? I could be here, right? And you've heard this, you know, Jesus is my co-pilot. You've heard that, right? Okay, so that could be happening. I could be, you know, for more space. I could be in the back seat, especially if it's a bench seat, right? And I could be back here. Now, so just picture this illustration. Picture this being your life, all right? Jesus is driving, all right? And so, you know, let's say it's, you know, being maybe a bit of a long journey. You know, life is, you know, maybe not a whole lot's happening at this point. We're on a long stretch of highway. And, you know, I'm not driving, right? Jesus is driving. So what begins to happen, right? Oh, man. Oh, man, this is kind of nice. Jesus, take the wheel. Good night. Okay. Oh. Isn't this what would happen? If Jesus was driving your life, if Jesus was in ultimate control, what's going to begin to happen after a while? You're going to say, well, Jesus, hey, wake me up when I get to a good place, you know, just let me know, you know, and you know, down the road, right? And what are you, you're not going to be alert after a while? Because you're not really doing anything, are you? You're just there, right? Okay. So let's look at some other scenarios. Okay? Okay? How about this? How about we put Jesus right there? All right. And so Jesus could still be my co-pilot, right? But who's driving now? All right? And so here I am with my buddy Jesus, right? Now, is that a possibility? Is this a possibility?
Yeah.
All right? Could be? All right. Here's the thing, though. Isn't Jesus more than my buddy? He is my buddy. He's my friend, you know, obviously not. But isn't Jesus, the creator of the universe, far greater than that? So should he be my co-pilot?
No.
Jesus.
He knows where you're going.
Jesus, you come on back here. And you have a seat right back here. Yeah. Now picture a beautiful limousine. And he is the guest in the limousine. And now I'm up here. And I'm driving. And so what am I? This is a limousine. And, oh, thank you. All of a sudden now, he's not my buddy, he's not my friend, but he's royalty. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the one that's created everything. He's got a master plan over the entire universe. And not only that, he's got a plan for Reach Out Church. He's got a plan for Hyde Park. He's got a plan for Dutchess County. You hear where I'm going with this? And so now when I'm taking the wheel, here's what I'm saying. Jesus, where do you want me to go? All of a sudden now, you see what's going on here. This is all about perspective. And until I seen this illustration, the nickel didn't drop in my mind in realizing that this is what my life is about, is me taking Jesus where he wants to go in and through my life. And the thing is, I got to be aware all the time. I'm driving. So who's in control? No, I am. I got the wheel. I'm in control. See, and that's where the catch is, and that's where the trick, kind of the trick catch to the question is. I'm in control, but I am called to let Jesus influence me and direct me to where I'm going to go. So I got the wheel. I got the wheel. You got the wheel of your life, and you need to realize that. But here's the thing. You need to submit to the authority of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Thank you so much, Yusuf. Amen. Yeah. This is a life-changing perspective. It's not really new. We all know that Jesus influences us. But when you see that whole thing where now you are the chauffeur of your life, you might say, well, hold it. I don't really like that. I want to go where I want to go. You can. You can drive anywhere you want to go. But there won't be life where you go on your own. There won't be blessings supernaturally where you decide to go. Because guess what? Jesus says, no problem. Go wherever you want. And he won't abandon you. But here's the problem. Then you get into a mess, and what do you say? Jesus, bless my mess. And he's like, no, I wasn't planning to be here with you. We were over here going. We had this awesome adventure I wanted to take you on, but you wouldn't let me influence you to go where I've called you to go. Luke 9, verse 23 says this, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself and pick up his cross daily and follow me. Now, it doesn't say it, and if you read it quick, sometimes we think it says we have to pick up the cross of Jesus. Now, listen, he already died on the cross. He gave his life for us. This is a different cross. Jesus said, you want to be my disciple. You want to be my pupil. You want to follow me. You must deny yourself. In other words, there's times you want to drive somewhere else. You want to do your own thing because your emotions say, I want to do my own thing. You don't feel like doing what God wants you to do. Or maybe somebody hurts you. Maybe somebody hurt you in church, and you're like, I don't want to go back, though. Those people are all hypocrites. Well, welcome to the club. You are, too. You know what I'm saying? We're all messed up. And the thing is to come to a point of saying, I want to get beyond that. I come to church for him. Amen. And maybe I can be part of the solution instead of being hypocritical of all the other people. You know, because none of us are perfect. Just thought about this now. I think when God looks down from heaven, he thinks this is a giant bumper car place. In other words, literally, for most of us, including me, we're like steering bumping into everything. And that obviously is not God's perfect will. But ultimately, we'll get straightened out. Thank God for that. And he'll begin to direct us. And so, here's my question to you right now. Who is in control of your life? What's the answer now? Do you know? You are. You get to choose what direction you want to go. But here's the thing. If you will do it hand in hand with the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be taken to places of life and blessings and wonderful things. So you have to make that choice. And so, you know, that's really the message I have for you today is, are you allowing Jesus to be the only influence in your life? See, for most of us, there's a mix. You got the other people, you got things, you got the devil, all of this is all kind of mushed all together. But here's the thing. My prayer for each one of you is that each day you choose to let the voice of Jesus just rise a little above the others. And you're a little more obedient as each day goes by. And that's all God is asking you to do. One day at a time to just do that. So just every eye closed, every head bowed, just for a moment. Father, I thank you for those that chose to come here today. Lord, you didn't make them come to church, Lord God. They chose to. And I pray, Lord, that you influenced some of them. You said, hey, it'd be good to go to church today. And they decided to drive you to church in their life. And I'm grateful for that. But Lord God, this goes beyond church. This goes beyond, this is about making decisions for their families. Lord, I hear in the spirit right now that there are some people here that have some family decisions and they emotionally want to drive in a different direction than you. And so right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray that they can hear your voice clearly, that they will deny the flesh in their life, they'll deny the other voices, the other things, Satan. They will just deny all those things and hearken unto your voice and your direction, King Jesus. Lord, I pray that we see you as royalty in our lives, that we are driving this amazing limousine and you are there and we are taking you as you guide us and direct us and teach us and give us understanding to know your will and your ways. So, Lord, I thank you for that. Just with every eye closed right now, I just want you to be honest with the Lord. Do you have some control issues? And if you do, just put your hand up to the Lord. I'm not going to have you come forward. Just put your hand up. I appreciate your honesty. My hand's up. My hand's up. You can put those hands down. Lord, you saw those hands raised all here. I'm sure some people watching from home raised their hands as well. So, Lord, we lift up these circumstances and situations to you. Lord God, one of the greatest things that we need from you is to recognize when we're being influenced or controlled in a negative way. So, Lord God, help us to have our eyes open, that we have an understanding of the manipulations and controls that are happening in our lives that are not from you, that we might be able to give them to you and see them gone in the name and the authority of Jesus. So, Lord, I speak a blessing upon each person here. I thank you, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for each and every one of them. Bless them as they continue on in their journey of life with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.